Good evening. Thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Once again, we are back and scratching my itch. Got a little itch going on. Please pray for me out there. Dry skin.
I hope by the time this one's on, they air Sabrina that you're not still itching.
I know, me too. It's just dry skin. The last couple of weeks, we have been blessed to be in Terrorize Bible Study Tell It Well, which is birthed from the book of Acts. And right now we're in her first book, which is the first. No, we're in the second book.
We're in the first book.
We're in the first book.
We're in Tell It Well, To Do and To Teach as Jesus Did. The second book is To Tell It Well, The Ripple Effect Continues.
Okay, thank you. I knew she would.
We needed that clarification,
right? We did. She does a lot better job of clarifying than I do.
Oh, praise the Lord, I remembered.
So we're in chapter 7. Tara storied it 2 weeks ago, and it's on Stephen. And Tara was touching on the fact about, you know, your testimony. And really the only thing that changes people is the word of God.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, Sabrina, just hearing you say that, I just wanted to cry. I mean, it's like the spirit just like zapped me or something. The way you said it and the hand movement and the way her hands were, it was like a moment, a God moment. I just had a God moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Stephen is amazing. Mm. I mean, I don't even know how to, he's amazing. And he is my hero. Yeah. And what happened as these accusers came after him, he took them through history. We've looked at that. And
right.
He shows the history of the nation. And what he was doing is he was pointing out that the Old Testament is concealed, but the New Testament's revealed. He's walking them through the process of that. And I wrote down some points that I just wanted to share. By pointing to Joseph, it brings to mind to the people how he had provided for them, God had provided for them, and his brothers rejected him and they sold him into slavery. Mm. Okay? And that's exactly what they did to Jesus. He came as one of them. God sent Jesus first to the Jews and they rejected him, just like Joseph's brothers rejected him.
Yes.
Then they're also now rejecting Stephen, who is one of them.
Mm.
Okay, then by pointing to the rejection of Moses by his people in Egypt, it brought to their minds their rejection of Christ. And by only seeking to bring the man out of bondage, Jesus came, we know, because the prophet Isaiah said that he came to set the captives free. Mm-hmm. There was a reason why he spoke about certain people and their circumstances, because it was a revelation of the Old Testament was concealed, but when Jesus came, it became revealed. And so by telling about Moses's rejection as ruler and leader appointed by God, it shows how they rejected Christ. And as I was reading through the passage this morning, it occurred to me, Moses made an assumption. Stephen, as he's telling this passage, he's referring to Moses when he's 40 years old. Stephen says when he was 40 years old, he went out to walk amongst his people. And as he was walking amongst his people, he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite fighting. And he stepped in to stop the fight. And in the process, he killed the Egyptian, and he made the assumption that they would see him as their deliverer. Well, he is their deliverer. He is who God has appointed to be their deliverer, just not yet. Mm. And I started thinking about that as like, God, how many times can I make the assumption on something that you've revealed to my heart, but it's not the time yet? You know, we have to wait for the process of time for something to truly be fulfilled in God's kingdom and not try to do it before it's time. Moses still had another 40 years before God used him as deliverer. Mm. He was 80 years old before he went in and did the confrontation with Pharaoh.
That's so crazy, because 80 years old in my mind is like,
I know,
so old and feeble and...
And he was strong. I mean, this man was bold and muscular. You know he was. He was a shepherd.
Yes. And so it's just amazing how God will use anyone at any time.
I just like, do not knock yourself out because of age.
No. Wrinkles and all.
That's it. Now, by pointing to Moses' immediate rejection of the people after the powerful deliverance. Stephen's pointing out that they did the same to Christ after his healings. Mm. And then as for the temple, he reminds them that the temple was imperishable. Okay? That the temple that they had over them, you know, it would come and go. But God's temple, God's presence, it's not something that will ever not go away. God was present in revealing himself. Mm-hmm. So why do we think that we can take something that was made with man's hands and put that around our God? I mean, that's really using that cliche, God in a box, mm-hmm. you know. And so he was walking them through all of those circumstances to help them make a connection to the community of God and how God was making himself known. Because when God has a plan, God will fulfill his plan.
And I love how sweet God is too, the way Stephen is. It's like with Nathan and David and how,
yeah,
when Nathan came to David and said what he, you know, about his sin.
Yeah.
And he did it so gently and just told him the story.
Yeah.
And then David was convicted and confessed and is a man after God's own heart.
That's huge.
I mean, fact that God can use us to turn a brother or sister away from sin and confess that sin. That's, I mean, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring
the good news. You know, right there, there's another verse that supports what God's been speaking to me. It's not my story. It doesn't say how beautiful are the feet of the person who shares their personal testimony. No. It's how beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news.
Yeah, the gospel.
You know, and Sabrina, you just reminded me of something that happened the other night. I received a text message, and I had no idea who it was from. It was like 312 or something like that, area code, and it said, you were invited to be a part of this call, and here's the security code. This is your access number, and it needs to be at this time. And I'm like, what is that? So I typed in the text. I'm like, who are you? And then I get it back. It was from Linda Bemis, and Linda Bemis is the international prayer intercessor for the International Orality Network. And there's a big event getting ready to happen in Florida. Actually, by the time of this recording, it will be happening probably on the same weekend. And Linda said, Tara, and I go, oh, okay, what's going on? She goes, I'm in a panic. And I wrote back and I'm like, okay, is this Mountain Central Standard? Because I've learned whenever I'm a part of these international phone calls, I need to know what time zone they're in, because there's been some funny mess ups with that. And so they were in a different time zone, which meant it was going to be 8 our time. And so I called in, and as I called in, it's the craziest thing, because it's like you're on this automated system, and as soon as you beep in, you're required to say your name and your location. And as I'm sitting there and listening, as the roll call is happening of a person in Africa, and then another person, and I'm hearing these names of people and accents from many places, mostly the United States, tears just started to well up in my eyes. And whenever I'm on these phone calls, I usually just listen, you know, because these are people that are really amazing on the field doing the gospel day and night in ways that just blow my mind away. And I just usually listen, but this was a prayer one. And so while everybody was praying and stuff, and there was a long enough lull, it's like, okay, I need to pray. And which is just hilarious, because I love to pray, but I was so scared. My hands are getting clammy as I'm just telling the story. And we're praying for the gospel to spread amongst the nations. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I was just so overwhelmed by the presence of God, the gentleness and the humility and the way the conversations happen with this particular group. It's as no other group I've ever experienced in my life. And so just overwhelmed by God and how his goodness is in his people. And my phone dropped the line at 45 minutes into it. And so I didn't get to hear the rest of it because I didn't want to call in and interrupt. And it was just amazing to be a part of something that is out there to affect the nations with the gospel. Mm. And that she invited me to be a part of that prayer, because that was not part of my you know, where I would be because I'm on the women's task force, but she invited me to be a part of this one to pray for that. It was so humbling. As Stephen was showing them God's plan and reflecting through as they were doing, I wonder how many of them heard that gentleness in him that I heard in these people, because I could literally feel the shining of Christ through these voices as they prayed. And these weren't personal requests. They were praying for the nations, for leaders, for the gospel to get out, for the communication of God's word, for clarity and conviction and repentance and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It just, you know, I mean, I was blown away, you know, to be able to listen in on these prayers, like I was getting a glimpse of part of God's eternal plan in a way I never have. How many people were sitting there that day that didn't lash out, that didn't go after Stephen, but were observing and listening, and for the first time thought of, God had a plan for me. That plan, as he unfolded from creation to Christ, was about him reaching me. And one of the things that occurred to me when I was doing Acts 7 is how many of them remembered Stephen's face over and over and over again, and what it looked like when they were stoning him and it shined like an angel as he's declaring the glory of heaven. How many of them had that face emblazoned on their heads, their mind's eye, forever because of that image? And do you remember I told you he was the first Christian martyr? The word martyr had a different definition in the early church. And I did not know this until I began my research. The actual definition for martyr in the early church is an actual person. It's not a person who has died. We call a person who has died a martyr because they sacrificed for a cause. A person that is called a martyr in the early church was a person who was a faithful witness. That's how they got their title. The fact that they were killed was just something that happened because they were a faithful martyr. And over time, we've called that now a martyr. And so he was the first Christian martyr for us. And one of the things that happens when God has his plan being revealed, I started reflecting through the things that Stephen said. And I noticed that God's plan brings change. And so I'm going to go through a couple of verses to show you how the change occurred and how different lives had to change. Abraham was asked to leave his country. His descendants were to be strangers in another country. They were to go into bondage, in fact, for 400 years. Jacob had heard that there was grain in another country. What about Joseph? He went to Egypt because he was sent to slavery. Jacob went to Egypt because he wanted grain, and so he had to deal with the change. Moses ended up being raised by Pharaoh's daughter, couldn't even be raised by his family, you know. And so I want you to see how the change, God's plans, will bring change in our lives. And what about he had to send them back, you know, after they left Egypt. And then when he leads them out, or what about when Solomon builds the house of the Lord? You know, I mean, it's just there's a process of change that is always taking place. And we could go through scripture and write down countless times. I think each of us could reveal change in our own lives as God brings about that change. So as the change is happening, there's going to be struggle and there's going to be a blessing. And the key is what he was doing is he was revealing to them both. He was trying to show them in God's plan, change is going to happen. God will fulfill his plan. He will make it happen. And with that, there's going to be times of blessing and there's going to be times of struggle. So we had Abraham's seed. It's going to be greater than we can count. And it is. Joseph, he fed his family and he provided for them in a famine. When they shouldn't have survived, God made sure that the lineage that he had promised had survived. And they did. Moses, when he led them out of Egypt, you know, he led them out and they went into the wilderness. And so you see how God provided them out a way of escape. And then Stephen, known obviously as the first martyr, you know, that was a big change for the early church. And most commentators say, as you think about Stephen and his martyrdom, that would have been a catalyst for them to be stronger in their witness. There's nothing more than watching somebody who goes through a sacrifice that profound that, you know, it can't help but be a catalyst. The early church didn't want to see Stephen killed, but because he was, I think that gave them greater strength to mm-hmm. follow through to seek the blessings of what God had for them in his plan. Make sense?
Yeah, well, you partake in Christ's sufferings and his glory.
Yeah, and you know, and sometimes we don't want the suffering.
No, but it's a privilege.
You know,
because that's when character and perseverance is
it is
built, and it's hard. It's just hard to see the eternal perspective of things when you're so caught up in the cloud of, you know, sin or discouragement or self-pity. And God is just like you said; he's always there, and he's just waiting, and he's just saying, just like with Abraham, choose obedience, because the fruit you'll sow, fruit
you will.
You reap sowingly. You know.
You reap what you sow completely.
Yeah.
It's a key. It is so key. So as they are, he's revealing them. The other thing he shows them in God's plan is it's not limited to a people group, and it's not limited to a place. I mean, and that's huge. You think about how we can say, you know, God's only going to be to the Jews. Well, hello, he brought it to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And you could say, well, it's only going to be in Jerusalem. And he says, no, I want you to go from Jerusalem mm-hmm. to Judea to Samaria to the outermost parts of this world. And so it's not married to a certain mm-hmm. people group. It's not married to a place. It's not married to a method. We know that because the way Peter testified, he told about the resurrection. The way Stephen testified, and he told the history of Israel.
That's right.
Yet both of them brought out a reaction within the people. With Peter's testimony, it brought out the reaction of people's hearts saying, what must we do? And believing. As Stephen was testifying, it brought out destruction. So when a heart is pierced, we're not guaranteed the piercing is going to be to the obedience. It can also be to disobedience. And that's part of the struggle, because each man individually has the choice. And God's a gentleman. He is not going to force himself upon anyone. He allows them within their heart to give of their will to make the choices that they're going to make. And in this particular circumstances, the crowd, the mob that we learn about, is they chose to kill Stephen. And that was their choice.
I know. And look how Stephen died. He fell asleep.
It's amazing.
I mean, everyone says, if I can only go in my sleep,
yeah,
that's the favor of God.
That is the favor of God. It was peaceful. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point, is that it was peaceful. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We hope that you come back next week, because we're going to finish up looking at what are the four ways that we can be circumcised. When God made that covenant and he said that he did a circumcision, let's find out what that means next week. God bless.